to me, please, to help me. I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and the second verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and the second verse. This is a word which brings before us what is a beautiful summing up of how a sinner born again lives the life of the righteous. This word is a word to inspire with hope every sinner born again who has a name on a church roll and desires to show that he is on the Lord's side. This is the way in which a profession of the name of Jesus is maintained. Looking unto Jesus. And godly John Owen tells us that in the original it is looking up all besides. Looking unto Jesus. I want us, the Lord, to help me for a little while to look at the subject from two or three viewpoints, seeking as grace is given to say that which might be seasonable at such a time as this. And the setting of the subject is wonderfully interesting and instructive. This word was penned to the godly Hebrews long ago, making up the Church of Christ in Judea. And the members of the Church of Christ there were hard put to it to hold fast their profession of the name of Jesus, because they lived in such troublous times. Many of them were persecuted for righteousness' sake. Some of them, alas, proved that they had not entered aright upon a profession of the name of Jesus, for they ceased to continue therein. And that is a very solemn consideration. And the Apostle Paul has a word to say about such characters, which has caused some of us at times many searchings of heart. Now the just shall live by faith, which is to say, now the just shall live by looking unto Jesus, looking up all beside. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And then the Apostle Paul, with a sweet, blessed confidence, declares, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The Lord grant it may be so with all of us who have our names on church rolls, wherever the church may be. The Lord grant grace to endure in our profession which we have made, and some of us made it long, long ago. But there is a very solemn contemplation. Myself I cannot save, myself I cannot keep, but strength in thee I fain would have, whose eyelids never seen. And now, as this Church of Christ in Judea was being hard put to it to live the life of the righteous, the Apostle Paul was inspired by the Spirit of God to pen this epistle to the Hebrews to encourage them to still hope in God, however dark and difficult the outlook seemed to be. And in the preceding chapter, he gives many instances of what godly people endured in Old Testament times. The record is wonderful to read. And he shows that the godly throughout Old Testament times had to endure much tribulation. And therefore, these godly Hebrews must not be surprised if in their profession of Jesus' name, they were called to fight the good fight of faith and endure much tribulation too. The Apostle Paul makes it plain that this has been the way to heaven from Abel's days onwards, and it will be the way to heaven till time shall be no more. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And then, having reminded these godly Hebrews of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and many of the godly Old Testament worthies, how they lived by faith and how they died in faith, he comes to this opening word in our chapter where the text is found. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There is one aspect of this word which is very important to consider, and that is the Apostle Paul in the preceding chapter calls attention, as I have said, to the godly in Old Testament times and how they lived and died in the Lord. But he comes at length to the outstanding example of all, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I do like his beautiful climax here, as though the Apostle Paul said, it may be you will not be able to take courage as I should like you to in thinking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all who followed on to know the Lord in Old Testament times, of whom I have said a little. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. And now that is the setting of the subject. And it might be well, first of all, to emphasize one word in the opening of the chapter. Everything hinges on that word being applicable to you, and the preacher too. Wherefore, seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Do you see this? When a sinner is born again, he begins to see that God has a people whom he has loved with everlasting love. a people on whose behalf Jesus Christ came down into this world to seek and to save. A people of whom it is said, and they shall be all taught of God. A people for whom the world is being run, that they might be made manifest as God's dear people, a people afore prepared unto glory. And now when a sinner is born again, I say, he looks on God's dear people, wherever they may be, with new eyes. He begins to see what a blessed people they are. And not only does he see what a blessed people they are, but in his heart he finds something living and moving he never felt before. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people, or visit me with thy salvation. And he looks on these people whom God acknowledges to be his, and he says, with them numbered, I would be now and in eternity. And sometimes that is the earliest evidence that a sinner born again is conscious of, as with his newly opened eyes, he discerns the people of God and longs deep down in his breast, let me among thy saints be found at whatever cost it may be, that I may have a part and lot with them in time and eternity too. Wherefore, seeing godly Ruth long ago could see in Naomi one of God's people. And what did she say? Ultimately, thy people shall be my people, thy God shall be my God. And godly Moses was made to look on God's dear people, and he stepped down, as it were, from the bottom step which would have led him up onto Pharaoh's throne later on, and chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us consider this word, witnesses. And there is a great word in Isaiah where God addresses Israel of old. Ye are my witnesses. All around there were other nations, but they were all idolaters. And God declares to Israel, ye are my witnesses. I look to you as you live your life to show whose you are and whom you serve. I look to you to speak on my behalf, and so to live that others may take knowledge of you, that you have been with Jesus. I like this word witnesses. I like it much better than the word Protestant. The word Protestant can sometimes be to do with that which is political. But this word before us is in Holy Writ, witnesses. Ye are my witnesses. And this word witness comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word, witan, W-I-T-A-N, one who knows. And that is, we speak that which we do know, that which we have tasted, handled and felt of the good word of life, declare we unto you. I believed, therefore have I spoken. You know that a witness in a law court, ere he gives his testimony, has to make a vow and take an oath to speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And now these witnesses in this word before us are like that. The Apostle Paul has got a good word about it. We can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Our lips, our lives should evidence what is truth. One who knows. Then shall we know. We follow on to know the Lord. And what knowledge God has communicated to you, you will want to live your life in accordance with it, be it little or more. You dear young people who are feeling after God, desiring to follow on to know Him and His truth, walk according to that love which God has already given you, and ask Him still for more. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Witnesses. And now, here is a bedrock truth. As you think of those in the preceding chapter referred to as a cloud of witnesses, and it goes right through Old Testament times, it is a wonderful thing to contemplate that wherever you find a witness, a sinner born again, that his witness will always be the same. There is no deviation from truth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, I will tell you what he has done for my soul. And if you like to search it out, it will help you. It will instruct you. It will be profitable to do it. You can see throughout the Word of God that these witnesses all bore the same testimony. Each one, every one, witnessed to this. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Witness to what they were by nature as sinners. Yes. And confess, behold, I am vile. And when they approach God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And each one witnessed to this great truth. By the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh living be justified. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. And each one witnessed to this truth. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is given under heaven among men none other name whereby we can be saved. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Yes, and all these witnesses tell the same tale, and they declare, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And they all declare with united voice, being taught of God, salvation is of the Lord. And ask any one of these witnesses, what think ye of Christ? And the answer will be, we believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Eh, and they will say, compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Witnesses. Each one, every one, giving the same testimony. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And then the Apostle Paul uses the simple illustration, and very familiar too to the Hebrews of old, of life being like running a race. I've no time to go into the varied details of it, but it is helpful to look at it just a little. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Mark the wording. I want to emphasize that, as the Lord should help me. The race that is set before us. You cannot run where you like, nor can you run how you like. God has laid down rules in the word of his grace, and he has lined out a track along which you must inevitably run if you would be found at the last one who does indeed win Christ and be found in him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I do like this word set. The race that is set before us, the starting point is, you must be born again. Are you? Do you say, I wish I could be sure that I was? The Lord bless you and help you, and he can, and he will assure you. If you wait on him, wait for him, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear the witness with my heart that I am born of God. But this word set is very suggestive. It tells of divine sovereignty. Remember that. The lot is cast into the lap, and the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. The race that is set before us, and now it is set before us, first of all, in eternal purposes. There is a covenant of grace. And it is declared to be ordered in all things and sure. And it is. Godly David was favoured to realise his part and lot therein when he came down to his last days. It was made very plain. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. You are not living your life by chance and haphazard. If you are a sinner born again, God is leading you along in the right way. And it is a great mercy when you can feel that you are running a race that is set before you. Set before you by God, whose you are and whom you serve. And you feel at times, all must come and last and end, as you please, my heavenly friend. My times are in thy hand. Set, ordained. Nothing happening by chance. The fictitious power of chance and fortune, I defy. My life's minutest circumstance is subject to God's eye. It will help you as you run life's race to realize it is set before you by him with whom you have to do, your God. And that means all must come and last and end as shall please my heavenly friend. Not only so, this race is set before us in the word of God itself, as I have hinted already. It does not matter of whom you read who was running in this race. Each one, every one, had to run through much tribulation. And so the race is set before us. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me cannot be my disciple. The word of God is very plain. But the race is set before us most of all, speaking of great reverence, in the life that Jesus lived, as verily man, verily God, as it is outlined in the text, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And whatever comes upon you as you run in this race, which is for time and eternity too. Whatever comes upon you, be it adversity or affliction, or if you should be persecuted for righteousness' sake, whatever losses or crosses or disappointments, it will be a wonderful help to you if you can be found looking unto Jesus, And remember, it is enough for the disciple that he be as his Lord. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. And thus the race is set before us. And it means, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. The race that is set before us. And yet, as the Apostle Paul outlines it, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You may not feel that you can say much about running. Sometimes it is like the hymn writer puts it, O Lord, with tardy steps I creep. But there is this to be known. It would be good to be exercised more about it. I will run in the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Yes. And using this illustration of running in a race, how essential it is to lay aside every weight. Remembering the Eastern illustration, when they had flowing garments which needed to be taken off that they might strip, as it were, to run with freedom. Let us lay aside every weight. Does not matter who you come up against, who is a sinner born again, you'll not be long hearing them tell out what is their everyday life, but what you will discern, they have got some weights, and they desire to lay them aside. What a weight is what one is by nature. Indwelling sin as it rages within. The great I seeking to predominate in your life. What a weight arises from being the sinner that you are as you were born, and having a carnal mind that is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. And what a weight in everyday life, especially if you have to do with the world and get entangled therein and sometimes imbibe the spirit of it. Oh, that will weigh you down, bring you down into a low place in your soul's experience, cause you to sigh and cry, save me from this bewitching world which has to death 10,000 hurled. Sometimes you will be weighed down by being in heaviness through manifold temptations. These people who run in this race, although heaven is at the end of it, as you get in touch with them at times, you hear them saying some very strange things. Leave not my soul destitute. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Oh Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. Here they are, weighted, but they're seeking to lay them aside as they look to Jesus, as they try to pray, Lord, help me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And referring to indwelling sin, to lay it aside like this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then Paul refers to the sin which doth so easily beset us. And he tells us what that is earlier in this epistle to the Hebrews. Take heed therefore, brethren, that there be not in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I've thought sometimes about our hymn writer, Begone unbelief, my Saviour is near. But it needs much more than saying the words, Begone unbelief. What you really need, if it is to be done, is, Lord, increase our faith. The Saviour said, be not afraid, only believe. But then sometimes as you seek to run this race wherein you hope God has set you going, you have to lament, Lord, I believe, oh, help my unbelief. Because there are many questionings arising, many ifs and buts and hows. And sometimes they are hurled to sink you in the gloom of all that's dismal in this world and in the world to come. Much might be said along that line of thought, but let us look at this word, patience. You must not look in the dictionary to find the meaning. The dictionary does not give it. No. It is not dictionary patience that you want. It is grace, all sufficient, to endure whatever God sees fit should be set in the race that He has ordained you to run, and to realize, my grace is sufficient for thee, and especially grace to wait the working out of what God's purposes for you or yours may be. Grace to behave like this, dear friends. Be still and know that I am God. Not to question what God is doing, but to wait on Him still, knowing every state, however distressing, shall be profit in the end, every ordinance of blessing, every providence of friend. He that feareth God shall come forth of them all. Let us run with patience. And sometimes God, as we do it, takes a long, long time to bring to pass what He purposes to do for us. The vision is for an appointed time, and though it tarry, wait for it. For in the end it will speak and not lie. It will surely come and will not tarry. And as the Apostle Paul told these godly Hebrews, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Let us run with patience. Remembering a time ye have set to heal up thy woes, a season most fit is love to disclose, until He is ready to accomplish His will, be patient and steady, and wait on Him still. And how is all this to be done? Looking unto Jesus will enable you to do it. To look, even like Jonah, though I am cast out of thy sight, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Looking unto Jesus. But then it must be a believing look. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek Him. When you read the beautiful gospel records and see how poor sinners with incurable cases were brought or came to Jesus, how they addressed Him as Lord. And they were looking to Jesus aright. Said the dying thief, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the poor woman, she is a friend of yours and mine, and she said, Lord, help me. And you have said it hundreds and thousands of times, and you have obtained it. Looking unto Jesus, it must be a believing look, and it will be a longing look, a prayerful look, it will be a hopeful look. Who can tell but what God will be gracious unto me? But I am bound to add this, if you look unto Jesus aright, it will be a sorrowful look. It will have something like this in it, I will be sorry for my sins. To thee I come a sinner great, and well thou knowest all my state. Yet full forgiveness is with thee. O God, be merciful to me. It will be a repentant look, looking unto Jesus. And remember, it must be looking off all besides. And then the Apostle Paul outlines the life that Jesus lived as verily man, and it is recorded here to inspire all who are running in this race the text tells us about, to hope in God, whate'er betide, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. When you think of the life that Jesus lived, what a beautiful life it was, but what a suffering life. It is impossible for those of us who try to preach to say much about it as it ought to be said. Of his suffering so intense, angels have no perfect sense. He lived as verily man under the law, made of a woman, made under the law, and he kept it in every jot and tittle of all its holy demands. And all his life he suffered, from the cradle to the cross. He was tempted, he was set at naught, he was persecuted, he was hounded about, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain. He bore all incarnate God could bear, with strength enough and none to spare. He endured the cross. And because he endured the cross, the word of the Lord to you is this: let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You and I, if we are indeed taught of God, can say but very little about enduring the cross and behaving aright in doing it. Too often deep down in our hearts, there is a spirit that ought not to be. It might be fretfulness, murmuring, petulance, rebellion. Alas, that it should be so. But it is a wonderful mercy when grace superabounds over all that you are by nature. And regarding your cross, you can appeal to God with whom you have to do. Lord, I would indeed submit, gladly yield my all to thee. What thy wisdom sees most fit must be surely best for me. To be able to say, it is the Lord, and let him do what seemeth him good. He endured the cross. And remember, Jesus Christ endured the cross vicariously. It was for you and me, I hope. He endured it, that at the end of our bearing our cross, whatever it is, there might be for us a crown of joy, a crown of righteousness, which fadeth not away. Endured the cross, this word tells us. And remember, he endured it voluntarily. Remember that. He came down in this world on purpose to do it. And he said to his Father, lo, I come, I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. And he endured the cross voluntarily. And he said, concerning his life, I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. He endured the cross voluntarily. Remember that. Necessity was laid upon him to do it, but he did it willingly, voluntarily. And how well he endured the cross. He endured it willingly, I say. He endured it patiently. And when his cross, as I should judge, seemed at its heaviest upon him as deadly man, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Death by crucifixion was most ignominious. But he set his face steadfastly to go up to Jerusalem, knowing the things that awaited him there, which was to be crucified in the stead of poor sinners like you and me. Who, for the joy which was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Yes. And oh, look at the blessed consummation. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There he is, at this evening hour, as it is our privilege to be found where we are before God in the attitude of worship. Jesus on the eternal throne for mourners intercedes. He is on the right hand of the throne of God as our advocate on high. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. But I must come to the amen. And this is just a little outline of what is comprehended in making a profession of the name of Jesus. And how one who, as grace is given, embarks upon it, will be enabled to wear well therein and endure unto the end. And when a sinner born again gets to the end of the race set before him or her, what then? He who is at the right hand of the throne of God will say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Might that blessed, wondrous, indescribable welcome be granted to you and the preacher too. Amen.
Yeah, room number 427.
John Whitburn. Number 435.
Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee, whom anger praise, whose glory shines in endless days. 427.
word of God says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Then I'm solemnly persuaded that the step you are about to take in following Jesus to make a profession of his dear name is one that has been ordered in his eternal purposes. I believe you have come to this point in your life as the outcome of much exercise of mind. And God in his great mercy has granted you what your soul desired, granted you tokens for good, so that you felt constrained by the love of God to come forward to follow Jesus. I believe you have in some goodly measure sought to count the cost, and it will be like the hymn writer puts it: if on thy face for thy dear name shame and reproaches be, all hail reproach and welcome shame, if thou remember me. I do desire that as you follow Jesus at this time, that you may be helped to rejoice in him and look back to what is done at this time in the years ahead of you as a time to be remembered. May it be such an Ebenezer set up that as long as you live, you shall never lose sight of it. And may you be helped by all-sufficient grace to live right and make a good profession of the name of Jesus, and at the last die right, even that you may, when that time shall come, finish your course with joy. The blessing of the Lord be upon you as you follow in the steps of Jesus Christ. Of your repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Commanded, and yet there is room. Let us now sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. God, who in thine infinite love didst ordain that there should be a church, and in the beginning thou didst create the heavens and the earth, that throughout the changing seams of time there should be on the earth a people to serve thee, the Lord Christ. Thy word tells us what was thy holy mind in doing it. This people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. O Lord, some of us who do hope we belong to thy people have to lament often how little do we seem to show forth thy praise in our lips and lives. But thou knowest the desire of our soul is to thy name and to thee remembrance of thee. And one has said to thy holy majesty many times, O Lord, I would seek the charms of thy mind, the grace to be meek and lowly and kind, forbearing, forgiving, and loving always, and only believing to publish thy praise. Lord, many of us in this assembly have made a profession of the name of Jesus. Help us by thy grace to live more like Christians should live, and that we may ever be witnesses for thee and for thy truth. And we thank thee, O Lord, for this token for good thou hast given to us in our cause here, in adding on to our church yet another whom we believe is in that category of which thy word tells. And the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. We would thank thee as the church's living head, and take courage in what thou hast done for us under Union Chapel roof. But oh, do more, O Lord, than thou hast yet done, and help us as a people not to let thee go till such a blessing thou bestow, that there shall be a godly increase in our church, and others be brought in among us to be true worshippers of thy holy majesty. And O Lord, we not only pray for this in Union Chapel, but we would humbly pray that thou wilt grant all the churches round about, based upon that sure foundation thou hast laid in Zion, all that they may have added unto them, even such as shall be saved. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion everywhere, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. And we ask that thou wilt cover with a mantle of forgiving love all that has been amiss in our evening service. All that has been amiss, forgive, and let thy truth within us live. And do bless us all together under Union Chapel roof, young and middle-aged and old. Oh, bless us as thou alone canst do, O Lord, for time and eternity too. And in these tremendous times in which we are living, what remains for some of us to live out of our lives, do help us, as every opportunity is afforded us, to show whose we are and whom we serve. Do guide us by thy counsel down to the end of life's journey, and at the last receive us into glory. And O Lord, we ask of thee again to bless the dear lad who has now been baptized in the name of Jesus, and that he may by thy grace be helped to live the life of the righteous, and that in his day and generation he may serve thee, the Lord Christ, in whatever way thou shalt ordain for him to do. Do then hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and we ask all in the name of Jesus, and may his grace and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us and all who love the truth everywhere. Amen and amen.